Dearest gentle listener, brace yourselves for another episode of Scandalous Revelations and Compelling Tales. Join us as we delve into the mysteries of ambition, intrigue, and a hint of romance.
Let's embark on this captivating journey together, uncovering secrets that may leave you breathless with anticipation. With that, we welcome you to the Everything Bagel Podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
I'm so sorry for that cringe. We should have given a cringe warning.
Yeah. Today, we are talking about Bridgerton. But before we get into Bridgerton, because we've got lots to talk about,
yes.
Abe and I rewatched House of the Dragon, and I noticed some things watching it the second time through. Did you watch the first episode,
yeah,
the premiere?
We're recording this episode after episode one of season two, House of Dragon, came out. So.
And it honestly didn't disappoint. It was very dark. Lots of things happened.
Ending? Not well.
Yeah.
Not well with that.
Unwell. But I'm very, very excited for this season. Before I talk about some things, do you like Game of Thrones or House of Dragon better?
I don't know. I'd have to probably choose House of Dragon.
House of
Dragons. Just because I love anything with dragons in it.
Yes.
And so the more dragons, the better.
Yeah. And there's a lot more that happens in House of Dragon. Like, season one was very action-packed, and season one of Game of Thrones was very, very slow.
Yeah.
So with that aspect, I think House of Dragon is a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
But I noticed some things. So you know how in another episode, I think it was our Air of Fire episode, we talk about the white stag, mm-hmm, in Throne of Glass.
Mm-hmm.
So watching it through the second time, I noticed the white stag and how it looks at Rhaenyra. Mm-hmm. So they're like on the hilltop and it looks at Rhaenyra. And do you know the meaning of that encounter?
Kind of.
So it means that the gods have chosen Rhaenyra.
Right.
Like,
to be heir.
Yeah, to be heir. And if you think about it, she truly is the only one that is, like, fit to rule.
Yeah.
Because Daemon is a little bit too hot-headed. Aegon is...
the worst.
The worst, Aegon. But,
I mean, in my head, she's the rightful heir.
Yeah.
I'm Team Rhaenyra on the throne.
100%.
Like, nobody else.
Yeah.
But then it's a weird thing of, like, but then what about her kids? Because they technically are bastards.
Yeah. Yes. But then I was thinking about Princess Rhaenys, which is her aunt.
Oh,
and she,
love her.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with her. I love that actress. I love that character. But I didn't put it together who she was. She is actually meant to be queen.
Right.
Because her father was the king, but nobody wanted a woman as queen and to, mm-hmm, rule, so they chose her cousin, which is King Viserys, to rule.
Right.
So it really should be her.
I forgot about that. I couldn't remember how she is related, but I did remember that she was supposed to be heir. And there's a very important conversation in season one.
Yeah.
Where she's like, you're a woman.
Yeah. And so
she's a little
salty. Yeah, she's bitter about it, but then by the end, she's Team Rhaenyra, and she's,
yes,
like, my time to rule isn't gonna happen, so I'm gonna do whatever I can to help
you get Rhaenyra on the throne.
Yeah.
Love her.
Then another thing that I noticed, I don't remember who I was talking to about this, we might have talked about it, but you know how King Viserys throughout, like, all, he takes forever to die, first of all, in season one. Like, just die, please.
Literally.
You are the worst king. He's like the sweetest father, but he is a terrible king. And you know how he just is getting these weird sores all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So
gross.
So gross. And he doesn't heal from, mm-hmm, them. He has this condition where he doesn't heal. So he gets these weird sores from the Iron Throne. Like, he's getting cut
by the Iron Throne.
Right.
And it's basically the throne rejecting him.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Whoa, that's wild.
Because he's really not meant
very
to rule.
Very symbolic.
Very symbolic. There's a lot of things in Game of Thrones and House of Dragon. Then I saw this TikTok about Alicent's dresses that I thought was actually very interesting. Mm-hmm. So
that was
with young Alicent, we start off with like light blue, almost white dresses, which resembles innocence. And then her dresses get a little bit darker, a little bit more scandalous, right, because she starts wearing her mother's dresses.
And the first time she wears her mother's dresses is when her father sends her
to the king
to comfort him. And it's like this weird, twisted symbolism of you're a woman now and I'm sending you to do woman things.
Yes. Her story is honestly so sad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She has the worst situation out of all of them.
Also, that TikTok you sent me today of the Billie Eilish song.
Oh, it is perfect.
I was almost crying.
Same. I was, their like, friendship. Oh, that is a friendship that I'm just like, can you please be best friends again? Please.
And there was a moment in season one where you thought that they were going to
reconnect and be friends, but nope. They're both bitter. But they have their reasons. But then there's one moment with the dresses where you see... Oh, okay. This part was cool. When she comes in to the dinner and she's wearing the green dress. So she's like...
She
starts in blue, then she starts wearing more red.
I mean, you hate her, but it's so cool.
Yeah, she starts wearing more red to show that she like accepts... the Targaryen line, and she's trying to be Targaryen, and then she comes in the green dress in this like grand entrance, and that it basically shows that she only cares about her children now, and she's just going to take care of her children and herself, mm-hmm, and she's honoring her house. And then towards the end you see that she has like the five-pointed star,
mm-hmm,
which represents that like weird religion in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has like chains on her dress and like in her hair and stuff. And that represents that she is kind of like locked in to this life situation. And then there's a moment, I think it's when Aemon gets his eye, mm-hmm, stabbed out.
Yeah.
I think that's when it happens, where her chain breaks. And that is also another moment where she's like,
interesting,
I have to take care of my children. And then the other thing that I noticed while watching it again, we have the horrible birth scene with Rhaenyra's mother. And Rhaenyra's birth scenes, which, power woman.
And what's heartbreaking about her birth scenes is she will not accept help.
Yes, she won't let anyone touch her.
Because that's how her mother died.
Mm-hmm. So sad. Anyway, that's all I had to say about House of the Dragon. And we'll
we'll keep you updated.
Each week we might have a little bit to say about each episode.
But let's talk about Bridgerton.
Woo! I'm excited. Okay, I wanted to start out with some questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite season so far?
Probably still season two.
Yeah, I feel the same.
I actually love season one. I just rewatched season one. I still need to rewatch season two.
Yeah.
I think Kate and Antony are my favorite couple.
That was my next
question.
But
season one was still so good. Who's your favorite couple?
I would say Kate and Antony.
And what's your favorite season?
Probably season two.
Yeah. Okay.
And then who's your favorite character? I think we have the same.
Okay. I love Eloise. But there's actually some moments during my rewatch in season three where I'm like, she's being annoying.
She kind of is annoying in season three.
And also, can I just go on a mini rant about Eloise?
Yes.
She is still one of my favorite characters, but part of me is bugged by her because she's like, she's just very self-pitying, and I kind of got sick of it.
And she's like, a little bit over-dramatic.
Gosh, I'm born into this ultra-wealthy family.
Yeah.
My life is so hard because my family expects me to be perfect. I'm like, that's what you're upset about?
Yeah.
I'm like, girl.
get over yourself.
Get over it. Yeah, honestly. She thinks she's so different. Like, yeah. I don't want to be the diamond of the season. I'm different. I'm like, shut up, Eloise.
I want to be the emerald.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Just suck it up. Your life isn't that hard.
Yeah. I know. But she is hilarious.
Her personality is the best.
And her, just as like a normal human in the interviews and stuff, she is so freaking funny. If you could be a character from Bridgerton, who would you be?
If I could be a character?
Yes.
Wait, that's so hard. Probably Daphne.
I would say the same.
She has the best life. I would maybe say Kate, but also she has to live really far away from her family, which is sad.
Well, Daphne's away from her family too.
But not as far.
Not as far. Very true.
Yep.
Okay. Last question before we really get into things.
And then I have a question for you.
Okay. Which Bridgerton will the next season be about? Who do you think?
I heard that it's going to be Benedict's season, and mm-hmm. then after that, Eloise.
Yes, that's what I think as well. Okay. There's a lot of things kind of telling that it's going to be Benedict.
Question. Next. If you could marry anyone from the entire Bridgerton series, who would it be?
Ooh. Honestly, none of them. None of the men I'm like obsessed with. But
they all have issues, kind of.
They all have issues, but I probably would just, I don't know though, because Anthony kind of gives me a little bit of cringe and I couldn't be with him, but I probably would say Anthony or Simon.
Anthony. Definitely between Anthony and Simon at this point.
Yeah.
I thought that I wasn't a Simon girly.
I'm not a Simon girly.
No, listen, that's what I was thinking too.
His acting.
I just rewatched season one and I was like, actually, I get the hype again.
Yeah.
I remember why we love Simon.
I mean, I love Simon for the fact that he is very masculine. And I love that in a man. So, I mean, honestly, none of them, but probably Simon or Anthony.
Yeah.
Not Colin, for sure. No, not Benedict.
Colin gives me the ick.
Honestly, let's go with the youngest brother.
Gregory?
Okay. Let's talk about season one a little bit.
All right.
Let's
go fairly quick through the seasons until season three.
In season one, we really get to see the Bridgerton bond between the family. They're all extremely close. We hear
the siblings.
We kind of get to see their background and their dad and like his death. We also get to see the meaning of the diamond of the season and Daphne just like perfectly represented
Daphne's
that.
Daphne's the perfect diamond, the most perfect diamond
she
of all
will
time.
Always be the diamond of every season.
And I love that she is the first one and she's like, they're all so different. The female love interests through the series are all very different. Daphne is like the first and she's like quote unquote perfect.
Like if they all had a gem, she would be the diamond.
She's like back in that era, what you'd consider the perfect woman, because she just wants to be married, have babies,
yes,
and just always
innocent.
Says the right thing. And
Kate, I have a little bit of beef though. The first time watching Bridgerton, she kind of bugged me because I was like, "Is this a Keira Knightley impression? Like, why are you holding your lips like that?" It bugged me so bad. But then the more I watched, I was like, okay, I love this girl. She is absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hate that she's not in the rest. Like, she's barely in season two.
Her and Simon are too cool now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on.
And she's
they
not in season
even
three.
At Colin and Penelope's wedding.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Were they at Colin Penelope's wedding?
No.
They weren't at Kate and Anthony's
wedding either.
Seriously?
Well, I could be wrong about that.
I know for sure they weren't at Francesca and Sir Kilmartin's wedding. But
they got married?
Yeah, just at the house.
Oh.
They kind of eloped. But Kate and Anthony weren't there. Simon and Daphne weren't there.
I was
like, that's super lame.
And I think they're just doing that because that actor doesn't want to be in it anymore or something.
Well, that's stupid.
And they don't want to do, like, a different Simon. In season one, we also see Colin and Penelope's friendship. And honestly, did they have more chemistry in season one?
Yeah. I did not find their chemistry believable in season three.
Yeah.
More so, I liked him better than her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you even like him?
I know. Should we move on to season two?
Yep. Season two. Love.
So, probably the best season so far.
I just love enemies to lover. I'm sorry. I'm a sucker.
It's seriously the best trope. And their tension. The amount of sexual tension.
Plus, this season had the best confession scene.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You
are the passion of my existence. Yes. And the object of all my desires.
That, I guess.
Stop.
That quote in the books is Simon to Daphne. I think I saw that somewhere. Don't quote me on it. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that. I'm
so glad that they didn't. Because Simon and Daphne got the I burn for you. I
will burn for you. Yes.
Which, by the way, Daphne says that, not Simon.
Yeah.
She's the one that says, I burn for you.
Oh, I burn so good.
For you.
I'm going to start saying anyways. That. Yeah. Really good season. Kate.
I love Kate. Is
gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Talk about, like, the most perfect human ever created.
Yeah.
How does she look like that?
I don't know.
How does she look like that?
We fan cast her as Nehemia.
Ugh.
For Throne of Glass.
Yes.
For our book girlies.
She's perfect. Love
she
her.
She literally is the perfect Nehemia. And she's so, like, regal.
Regal and powerful. Yes. Princess Ugh. Vibes.
What would her gem be? I would say a ruby. Amethyst.
Amethyst. Mm-hmm. She's an amethyst. Okay.
Season three. This is what we really want to talk about because it's fresh on the brain. Everybody's seen it.
Who's watched it?
Raise your hand if you've watched it.
Did you like part one or part two better?
Oh, part two for sure.
Okay, good.
For sure. There's not a lot I want to talk about in part one. Number one, Cressida's sleeves.
It would be so fun to work in the costume department at Bridgerton.
Oh, that
I'm just a nerd about it. I think it's so cool. The hair, the outfits, everything is symbolic. Bridgerton does this interesting thing where they have Regency era styles, but then they mix it up with like modern colors. Patterns and colors and fabrics.
It's so fun. The hair... Oh my gosh. The hair this season was incredible.
It just keeps getting crazier.
Was it birds or butterflies in the queen's hair at one point? There was like a whole
bird nest. She had like an entire snow globe in there.
Yeah.
Like she had like birds flying around inside or something. I don't even remember. It was psycho.
Crazy. That would be so much fun.
We get a new casting of Francesca.
Yeah.
And holy moly, her face is perfect.
I think she actually
has a little bit of filler. In her cheeks.
Probably. I bet they all do.
100%. I have to tell myself that because I'm like, how does somebody's face look so perfect?
We fan cast her as Elaine.
Please. In Akhtar. I swear on my life. She needs to be Elaine.
If she's not, please. That's a mistake.
Then
we get Penelope's glove.
This is the other thing is the hair. They do very modern hairstyles sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But I love
it. They kind of mix it up between Regency hair and modern hair. And they did like Hollywood glam waves for Penelope's glow up.
Yeah.
And she looked hot.
She did. She looked so good. The makeup was on point.
Smoky
did
eye.
Did you it's
definitely hear, not Regency era.
Did you hear that to test out the makeup, they would put it on them and make them wear it for 12 hours. And then if it still looked good, they like approved of it. And then they could only wear the makeup for 3 hours for filming. And then they would have to like take it off and redo it or something like that.
What? That's isn't that crazy?
Also, a little fun fact about that green dress that Penelope wore in her glow up.
Yeah.
Little Cinderella moment. This season is like a little, it's Cinderella, honestly, where she comes into the party and she's wearing that dark green dress. It's the same color that Colin chose for the wallpaper or the paint.
In their house?
In their future home.
Love. Also, can we... The glow up, maybe her bosom had the biggest glow up Oh.
The boobs. Oh, my. Those dresses push those things up. Have you seen the older version of Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, yeah. I watched that in my English
class. She's, like, 16 in it, and the boobs. Anytime she, like, takes a breath, it's like, oh, those babies are gonna fall out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it reminded me of with Penelope. But the dresses that she wore were
amazing.
So pretty. Loved them. Right away, in part two of season three, we were itching to find out the reaction of the family and the mom. And I loved their reaction. Hyacinth was just like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, you're going to be the most beautiful bride. Know, and the was mother so was so...
I am stoked for Hyacinth season.
Yeah. When she gets older...
I feel like she's a side character that is going to be my favorite main character.
That, she's so pretty.
Yeah.
And she's going to like...
That actress is stunning.
She's the type of girl that the older she gets, the prettier she's going to get, for sure. We kind of... soft fan cast her for Lysandra.
Yeah. They do a good job of making her look very young in Bridgerton, but she is an adult, I believe. Or is she like 17?
I think she's 17, 18? She's probably a teenager still, but like older teen.
She's 17. Okay.
17.
But she's stunning. Anyways, what were we talking about? I got sidetracked.
Their reaction.
Yes, their reaction.
But then freaking Eloise...
She has some dumb moments.
She's but just also, overreacting.
You have to appreciate an imperfect character. Not everybody can be Daphne.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Eloise's whole point. Is like, I'm not Daphne and I'm never going to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a little dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But we still love her.
Yeah. And then another moment that I liked was when Penelope's mom was like... so mad at her. She's like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And then Colin walks in and he stands up for Penelope.
Love
that moment. I love when a man stands up for his woman.
Oh, yes. That was the most attractive Colin was all season.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm sorry, but I am not a Colin fan. I think he looks like a Neanderthal.
The amount of work they had to do to his face to give him the glow up was a little sad.
Yeah. Ugh. He's just, no, he's not it.
The contour.
Oh,
the spray tan.
I will say the sideburns are a little bit better in this season, though.
I love how Antony's glow up was literally get rid of the sideburns and you're glowed up.
Yeah. Yep. The sideburns were just a bit much.
Anyways, okay.
This is when Penelope is wearing
the sage green dress.
This is probably my favorite dress.
This dress...
Although it didn't stay on for long.
Yeah.
And if we're being honest here, we watched everything.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, no, you didn't. But yes, we watched the entire spicy scene without fast forwarding. And I just have to say, who was enjoying this?
No.
It was the worst.
The part where they're in front of the mirror where he's, like, trying to get her to love herself, I loved that part. That was so good. But then once it kept going onto the couch, they lost all of their chemistry in that moment. And I didn't
love it.
I hated it. I did not, like, not the scene that we were looking for.
It was uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable.
I didn't want to watch it, and I'm like, who likes watching this? It's so uncomfortable.
No.
Like, please, can we not? Also, I didn't really want to see her boobs.
Yeah. Nope.
Can we just keep them in the dress? Because they look great.
Yeah, they look good in the dress. And there was just too much. I'm sorry.
Why the nudity? Like,
also, the Kate and Anthony scenes in this season. Just so like, oh, okay. Yep, there it is.
Oh, and, you mean their spicy scenes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're but like, oh, I also kind of like it because they are newlyweds and
I just love them in general. Yes. And the fact that she's pregnant.
Oh, yes, they're having a baby.
That was so sweet.
And they try to announce it and just get toppled over by freaking Cressida.
And then Penelope passes out.
Yes.
That was funny.
Oh, okay. Kate, I don't know about you, Emily, but I felt like Kate had a completely different personality in this season.
That's she was like, she has Anthony.
I know,
they
and
both
that's,
have a different.
That's what I realized is they're both like complete now, and they don't so have sweet. A stick up their butt anymore. They both kind of had that but in season two.
But I would still like to see a little bit more of Kate's sassiness.
I would too.
Like let's bring that back.
But now she's like perfect wife, perfect host, super sweet.
Why is she perfect?
And I'm like, dang, can I be you when I grow up?
I love Kate.
Another Kate moment that I liked was her pre-wedding speech. I don't know if you remember this.
I do not remember this at all.
But she basically was telling Colin the best advice because he was so unsure about things because mm-hmm. he found out about Penelope being Lady Whistledown. At this point, like the night before their wedding, he found out, and Kate was just telling him how marriage isn't just roses and daisies. It's hard work, and you have to put work into mm-hmm. a marriage in order for it to last.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that moment because it's so true. You know, mm-hmm. it's not easy, but because you love that person, you're willing to put in that work to have a good marriage.
Yeah.
The crunch.
Yeah.
Loved that part.
Love. We love Kate.
Love Kate.
Okay. The wedding. Penelope's wedding. I have 50-50 thoughts on the wedding dress, and I can tell you why. She looked amazing. I personally loved the pink dress. You said ballerina moment. So
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it was a very ballerina moment to me. Like the hair, the dress, the sleek, simple.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was absolutely stunning. Here's my only thing. Two things that I'm like on the fence about. First of all, Penelope has been forced to wear these outrageous colors her whole life. And I kind of wanted a super traditional, like, Daphne-style moment at her wedding.
Yes.
Where she, like,
I would have loved a white dress.
And I'm like, wait, can we just give her a normal color for once?
Yeah, can we let her have her moment, please?
Yeah, like, I kind of wanted her to have this, like, very bridal moment. And then she came out in a pink dress.
And but it was like, very, very, very soft pink.
Yeah. I mean, it was stunning. Okay, and then, so that's why I'm on the fence, but I liked it. The gloves, the half gloves. How did you feel about those?
Honestly, I don't love gloves. I don't love the gloves in anything. But for the era, I like it. But for a wedding, it's a no.
I didn't like the half gloves. I had just rewatched season one, and if you remember, there's this very romantic kind of intimate moment where Simon pulls Daphne's long white glove off of her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted that moment with Penelope, like give her this very feminine romantic moment with Colin.
Yeah, she honestly didn't get what she deserved.
I was like, then she just got these weird half gloves that are just like fingerless biker gloves. I'm like, girl, what's happening here?
Yeah.
So I wanted that glove moment. Like, I just feel like she got gypped. Like, why did Daphne get the perfect wedding?
On a side note, because social media went crazy about this and we didn't talk about it, in part one, very, very end of part one, there's the carriage scene. And
the carriage scene.
And his hand, okay? The fingers. Let me talk about this for a second. So, first of all,
they're calling him
if you
Colin
don't,
Fingerington.
You thought Colin Fingerington. Fingerington. Yeah, a lot happens with the fingers in the carriage. And then his hand comes up, and this is like the actor's choice. He just thought this was a good idea. So he grabs, he pulls up the shoulder of her dress with like his pinky finger and his thumb so he doesn't touch her dress with the fingers. But then he moves her hair behind her shoulder with the fingers. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, oh, wow. I noticed wow.
you
after
you told me. I was like,
very
oh, wait,
thoughtful. That's kind of... But then I watched it again, and I was like, Kate, thoughtful for the dress, but what about the hair? You touched the hair.
Okay.
That's worse. That's worse. Yeah. Sorry.
That's
and
so funny.
Something that I saw about Penelope's wedding dress is obviously it's very, very different than what she usually wears. No patterns, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of symbolizes her transformation. It's her, like, coming out as Lady Whistledown and also, like, becoming more of a woman and a mother.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I did like the contrast. Still wish it was white.
Yeah,
I don't know,
too.
But then it was also very Penelope to be yeah. in, like, a pale pink.
But I'm, like, a very traditional person. I just love white, or even off-white would have been better.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted her in ivory. That's just my opinion. Okay. Moving on to Francesca and Lord Kilmartin's wedding, which was, like, an elopement at the house. Love that for them. His wedding speech wrecked me. That was so good. Are you serious?
Why don't I remember this part? Did I fall asleep?
Bruh, it was so good. It was so tender. He addressed the entire family and was, like, talking about how amazing her mother is for raising her.
Oh,
and it was so tender.
Yeah.
He, like, addressed every member of the family. And I was, like, almost in tears. It was so tender.
His character just makes me laugh because he, like, gets anxiety to talk to people. And why is that how I feel when I have to talk to people? All of my thoughts just go away when someone asks me a question. Someone's like, what's your name? And I'm like,
yeah.
The mud on the boots.
Which is so funny because everybody on social media is like, okay, we love this inclusive couple. Like, Francesca and Lord Kilmartin are giving neurodivergent and autistic vibes. And I'm like, oh, okay, so am I autistic or?
Oh. They have the tism. I must have the tism too.
But no, I loved that they were different.
I also loved how he became drinking buddies with the brothers.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that, like, really opened him up. And it's a good, like, brother-in-law moment.
I loved that. Okay, can we talk about how much you loved the Featheringtons this season?
Yes, they really came in.
Because they were the worst in the other seasons.
I know.
And now every time they came on the screen, I was happy. I was like, yes.
I was laughing.
More Philippa.
So hard at the sisters. Is Philippa the ditzy one?
I actually get them mixed up. I don't know their names. The ditzy one and then the other one.
They're the ugly stepsisters going on with the Cinderella theme.
They also had a glow up, though.
They did.
Because they got hot this season.
Oh my gosh. They're so pretty. The one, the ditzy one, is so pretty.
Where did
she's like,
come from?
She's like Disney princess.
They glowed up when they got married.
Yes. But the best moment is when, what's the mom's name? Lady Featherington.
Lady Featherington. I don't know.
Anyway, when Lady Featherington is like, you guys need to have children. And she's asking them if they have, like, consummated. And
oh, yeah. She's like, I shouldn't have to tell a baker to bake.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you guys are married women. You're supposed to be doing what married women do.
She was like, when he inserts it. And then the ditzy one goes, inserts it where?
No, she goes, when he inserts himself.
Yeah, when he inserts himself.
And she goes, inserts himself? Inserts himself where? That line.
I was laughing. And then.
That line lives rent-free in my head every single day. The way she says it is so perfect.
It's so funny. And then.
We kissed.
And then the mom is like, what do you guys do? And she goes, we kiss. He makes a funny noise and then he has to change his britches. I was like, oh my, that is so funny. They're just clueless.
Oh my gosh, that scene was
they're
so
absolutely
funny.
Clueless. And then
why must I be punished over and over?
Yes. Oh. But it's like, as a mother, you need to teach your children about that. I'm sorry, that is your job.
Yeah, but also, like, that that era. Like, they just didn't talk about it.
No, it's, like, obviously frowned upon.
And that's a theme because that happened in season one. Like, Daphne is literally about to leave on her honeymoon, and she's trying to ask her mom. She's like, Mom, what happens exactly? Can you please explain it to me? And the mom is, like, trying her best, but then they run out of time, and Daphne never finds out how to do it.
And so I was, funny.
And she's like, oh, it's just funny.
Then they figure it out. They have a baby. Another part between the Featherington sisters that I thought was hilarious is the other one. I don't even remember their names. The not ditzy one, which they're both ditzy, honestly. But she goes, the Lady Featherington is like telling Penelope she's proud of her and she is like loves her. And the older sister, I think she's the older sister, she is crying. And then one of the, like, either her husband or her sister's husband is like, are you crying? And she goes, I'm pregnant. Everyone knows babies can sometimes push water out of your eyes. And then the other sister goes, oh. Or, like, the way she said it, oh.
I love her voice. It's so funny.
She's hilarious. Like, I can't even say it half as good as she does. And then I loved at the end how they all have a baby at the same time. Could you imagine how fun that would be?
Yeah. Oh, that was so tender. I loved that. The babies at the end, adorable.
Yes.
And the fact that Penelope had the heir, the son, and they both had girls.
Yes. That, I guess that doesn't happen in the books.
Oh, interesting.
She doesn't have a boy in the books, but it kind of gives her a little bit more power for the series. Love that.
Okay.
I haven't read the books, though, so
yeah,
that's just same. What I've heard.
Okay, Benedict's storyline.
First of all, unnecessary. I'm sorry.
Why was his entire storyline just having threesomes? Like, can we have some substance here?
No.
Like, seriously.
How do you feel about Tilly?
I think, well, I'm not sure, but they kind of set it up to have them be, like, married next season. Because at the end of season three, this newest season, she admits that she actually has feelings for him beyond physical.
See, I thought the opposite. And that she actually
wants to commit to him. But he was kind of like, oh, really? I don't know about that.
He said no, like he doesn't want to.
Like, he kind of rejected her?
Yeah, so interesting. I honestly thought the opposite.
That's good. I think he can find someone better than Tilly.
Yeah, but when they, like, hinted at the threesome, I was like, please, no. Please
don't make it a thing.
No.
Like, and then can we go back to him, like, painting, like, something interesting about Benedict besides, like, his sex life?
Yes, but also, what's his name? Paul?
Yeah, what, like, happened to Paul?
The threesome. How he was asking Benedict, like, oh, do you like the arts or do you do anything artsy, basically? And Benedict was like, I dance sometimes. It's like, why didn't he say he painted?
That's so weird. What?
Like, he painted.
Did we just completely forget about the fact that he paints?
Yeah, like, in the first, like, season.
That was, like, his one passion, you know? Like,
yeah.
The and thing that he was passionate
towards
about.
Towards the end, we bring it up again, and Antony is like, he encourages him to keep painting. I'm like, why didn't he tell him he paints? I don't know.
Super weird.
That
feels like a plot hole. Like, they dropped the ball.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy his storyline, and I really, really liked his character throughout the other seasons, even though he wasn't in it a ton.
Same.
And I just feel like they kind of ruined it, honestly.
Yeah, they did kind of ruin it. Dang it. Okay, Kate and Antony, they're going to India.
So,
I want to see them on my screen.
I know. I'm like, does that mean they're not going to be in the next seasons? Like, why do they take all of the other couples out?
They probably did that so that they don't have to really have them on next season very much.
Yeah.
Which is sad because they're the best. Cantony's the best.
Cantony.
Eloise wearing hand warmers.
Because did you notice this?
Yeah, she broke her wrist during filming.
That's what, okay.
And there's this interview where she's like, we call the muff. And then it was summertime. And so we called it the summer muff.
Okay. Everyone needs to go look up this interview. I can't remember who she was doing an interview with, but
Jimmy Fallon? One of the Jimmys.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, one of the Jimmys.
Maybe. I thought it was the guy with glasses. The older guy with glasses.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
What's his name? I don't know.
The Late Show with what's his face.
Yeah, there's anyway, she does an interview and talks about this story, and her storytelling is so good. She's I so love funny. Her. She is so funny. But she broke her wrist on set because she did a kick.
A high kick.
She did a high kick. And she broke her wrist. So they had to cover it up with the, like, what did she call them? The muff.
A summer muff.
A summer muff. yeah, so if you that. Notice her wearing summer muffs, that's why.
Because it's she like broke her they're wrist. Like, why do we need a hand warmer in summer? Because they had to figure out a way to cover up her wrist.
Oh my gosh, so good. The whole reason for Penelope writing Lady Whistledown is, or becoming Lady Whistledown, is because she always felt left out and unseen, and this was her way of kind of gaining some power and speaking out.
Yeah.
And but then she kind of finds out, like, I should have used that for good. Yeah. And like supported women and talked about women in a good way. So it's like, moral of the story, don't gossip.
Yeah.
But we love gossip.
I liked that. But, like, it's also become her passion. It's not just her voice, but she is passionate about writing. And so I like that at the end, she didn't have to give it up. Mm-hmm. But now that we know it's Penelope, that actress is now voicing Lady Whistledown. Oh. And we're losing Julie Andrews?
Does that mean we're losing Julie Andrews? Yeah.
So girl, bad. Bye.
But also in that part, that kind of, like, shows that she is accepting herself. And accepting Whistledown, and she's fulfilling her dreams. And I liked the part where Colin realized that she is Whistledown, and it's a part of her, and they're not two separate people, and she doesn't need to let her go. Mm-hmm. Like, she is Whistledown. And he says, there is no separating you from Whistledown. And I was just like, oh, I actually really loved
Colin that was in that sweet. Moment.
And she just fully embraces it. She's mm-hmm. living her dream. And there's the one part with the dressmaker woman that, like, uh-huh. helps her as her friend throughout the whole thing, where she's like, you shouldn't have to, like, lose your dreams for a man. Because the whole time her mother is like, mm-hmm. you have to make your man happy. That's how you're going to live a good life. I love
her. Madame, what's her name?
I don't remember.
Madame Delacroix.
Is that it?
I think so.
And so I loved how she just was being upfront with her and honest and saying, like, you don't need to do this. Yeah. Like, you can be Lady Whistledown.
Love her.
And Penelope. Ah, okay, so
let's get into some Easter eggs.
Yeah, okay, so I did a little bit of research. I mean, if you search Secrets About Bridgerton, you'll see these right away. So, first of all, some Easter eggs throughout Bridgerton. They're, right from the beginning, the name Penelope Featherington.
How, come on, if I had, like, one brain cell, I would have realized that it's she's Pen Lady Whistleton.
Feather.
Lady Whistledown.
Yeah. Like, you...
Her name is Pen Feather. Feather Pen.
Feather Pen. Yep.
Cresta's hair throughout the series is hilarious. And everything has a meaning.
Yeah. So, there's one... I don't think it actually showed this. This is, like, an alternate ending. Did you send me this?
Yeah. So... there's an alternate ending. People are saying this is all from the internet, so, you know, we didn't apparently there's an alternate ending where Cressa's mom jumps in the carriage with her at the end,
which I would have loved that. Yeah. She was supporting her through the whole
they robbed us
thing, and then the mother was like, actually, I'm not gonna be a good mother anymore. Yeah.
But you kind of get an Easter egg because Cresta's hair at the very end was a bird cage.
Uh-huh.
And her mom's hair had a key in it. Yeah. So her mom was the key to setting her free.
Yep.
And we missed out. She didn't
do it.
So. But the reasoning behind this ending that they chose actually makes sense to me. They said it gave more freedom to kind of develop Cressida as a character and give her more to work with.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's going to be on her own, figuring stuff out on her own.
But honestly...
And, like, isn't... She's saving herself.
I could do without the Cressida storyline. I think we got enough in this season.
You still don't love Cressida, but... You kind of like her... You like her more in this series, in this season.
And you felt so bad for her, because she... She got screwed over. She was going to get married to this old man that was just so greedy.
Also, the fact that she didn't end up with Lord Debling, I feel like everybody feels gypped by that.
Yeah, he didn't end up with anybody.
Because we kind of... I could ship them.
Yeah, he's never liked home them.
Anyways. No. And she liked him, and she was going to have a happy life. Like, married to this handsome lord.
Yeah.
Like, he's got money. Like, that's everything she's ever dreamed of. And then, it's just stupid. Anyways.
Yeah. So another little Easter egg is in the last column. You'll notice that if you, like, see it on the column when they're kind of showing it with the camera angle, there's a hint of someone spending a lot of time with an unmarried young lady. So is that, like, a potential pregnancy scandal for next season?
I don't know.
And I'm thinking that it could be, like, Benedict and maybe Tilly. Like, maybe she's going to end up being pregnant and they will have to be with each other. And then another one, it's another Benedict Easter egg. Like, is Benedict... Is it going to be his season next? So this
and who is he going to end up with? Like, is it going to be Tilly?
I don't know.
Also, rewatching season one, totally forgot that he was sleeping with Madame Delacroix.
Oh, that's right.
I thought it was Antony, but no, he only slept with the opera singer. It was Benedict that was sleeping with Madame Delacroix.
But this moment that we kind of talked about a little bit with Tilly and Benedict, where they... Tilly's like, I want more, like, I just want to be with you, I want to commit, kind of shows that it's going to be his season next, because he was like, I'm not ready, I need to do other things, I need to find myself, whatever, and that kind of means that he could find his match soon, because when you're not searching for your person, that's usually when you find them.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly why I think
true
it's gonna be Benedict's season, which I don't know if I'm thrilled about that, because I think season three kind of ruined his character for me.
There were a couple things I forgot to say that don't have to do with Easter eggs, but can we talk about the ending of season three with Francesca?
Yeah.
Okay, so she gets married. They're like, we're going to go live in Scotland. And is it Eloise that convinces her to tag along?
Well, Eloise tags along with them.
Eloise decides to go with them because she wants some peace and quiet or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, I swear I won't bother you.
And that's like kind of...
I'm kind of excited. I think Eloise could use a change of scenery.
I think so, too.
Maybe she'll meet
but
somebody.
I don't think we'll really see their journey in Scotland.
Anyways, Lord Kilmartin's sister. Okay, she comes into the picture.
Michaela.
Yeah, and they're meeting for the first time, her and Francesca. And Francesca's a little bit, like, awestruck by her.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird, and I kind of didn't think anything of it. But then I started seeing videos on Instagram about this part.
Yeah.
And people are saying that they're setting it up for Francesca to be bisexual.
Yeah.
And for her to, like, have a thing for the sister. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
But also...
And people are mad about it because they're like...
In the books, it's a male. It's Michael. He has a brother and not a sister. And in the series, they wanted to be more inclusive. So they made it Michaela and... Now Francesca is into Michaela and probably bisexual or lesbian.
Wait, in the books, Does Francesca have a thing with the brother?
I don't know, because I haven't read the books, but I've just seen stuff about that.
But I'm mad, and a few other people are mad too, if this is the route they are taking, because people are like, okay, we got a season that everybody loved about Francesca and Lord Kilmartin being a little bit different, mm-hmm. being a little secluded and like not liking socializing and like maybe a little neurodivergent. We love that. We love the inclusivity. And then bam, she's bi. That's why she's different. No. Can we just like not add that in there?
Yeah.
That kind of takes away from the rest of it.
Because we already have like the inclusiveness of being bi with Benedict.
And also, I don't want Francesca to be unloyal.
I know.
Like, what is that? Can we not do that? That's weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I hope that doesn't happen, but that's what people are saying on the internet. The other thing I forgot to talk about was just Penelope as the actress that plays Penelope. And we've talked about this. I kind of feel like she's not the greatest actress ever, but as a person, her name's Nicola. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love her. And I feel like I probably would like her if I watched Dairy Girls. Because mm-hmm. I've seen clips of her in Dairy Girls and she's hilarious. And I like her way better with her Scottish accent.
Yeah, which is her true accent.
Yeah, her real voice. She's from, wait, it's not Irish, is it? Scottish?
Oh, maybe it is Irish. I think
she's Irish. Wait, anyways.
I don't know. Irish or Scottish?
But she has this awesome accent. And in season one, she goes to drop off Lady Whistledown papers in disguise to the printer, mm-hmm. and she uses her real accent. She uses her Scottish accent.
Oh,
and in the series, it's like a fake accent, which is really funny because it's her real voice.
Oh, I didn't catch on to that.
I know, I didn't notice it until.
That's interesting. Rewatch. I like that. Yeah, anyways. Her accent is fun in real life.
I love her accent. I love her in real life. Let's go back to the rest of the Easter eggs.
So another one that kind of goes along with the idea of like the next season being about Benedict and like him not looking for his lover, but like probably finding his lover because of that, is Eloise is joining Francesca and Lord Kilmar in Scotland. And
Kilmartin,
yes. And this is basically like giving her the opportunity to learn more about herself and potentially readying herself to get married when she comes back. So that's like a little tidbit.
Also, there was a moment in season one between Eloise and Daphne that it really kind of made you dislike Eloise in that moment. Eloise is really salty about Daphne and Daphne like being perfect and coming out and being diamond of the season. And there's a moment where Eloise goes into Daphne's room and is like, she asks her a question. She's like, do you enjoy this? Like, what if this isn't what I want for my life? And Daphne gives her the most eloquent, perfect response. And Eloise goes, do you get tired? And Daphne's like, of what? And she's like, of acting perfect all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but that's just Daphne. She's not acting. Like, yeah, that's actually how she is. So I'm like, that was kind of rude.
Yeah.
Like, she just but was, that also Daphne goes was along... being so sweet. And Eloise's like, don't you get sick of acting like this all the time?
Yeah, that goes along with Eloise's character, though, where she's like, she's annoyed by trying to be perfect. And she thinks that Daphne is acting to be perfect.
It's true. It's part of her storyline. Like, she can't fathom that somebody would be like that and want those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, another... because we talked about those other two. Another little Easter egg. If you watch the intro of Bridgerton, which sometimes Netflix, like, cuts it out. So I don't know if I've actually ever seen the intro, but I saw this explained where they're playing what's that game where you hit the ball?
Volleyball?
No.
What
is the name of the game that they play with like the stick in the, it was at the
croquet.
Yes, croquet. I always forget the name. So
volleyball? What is wrong with me?
They're playing croquet in the intro, and Anthony passes it off to Benedict or
Colin.
And then so we had Colin season, and then Benedict goes next, and then Eloise goes. And they have, like, the numbers. So Anthony Easter is number egg. 2, Colin is 3, Benedict is 4, Eloise is 5. So oh that gosh. Kind of tells us Benedict's season is going to be 4, Eloise's season is going to be 5. So that's why cool. I think Benedict will be the next season. Yeah.
Bridgerton siblings are alphabetical.
Yes.
Anthony, Benedict. And that actually is so helpful once I realized this, which was this season.
Helps you remember yeah. their names.
Helps
better.
You, well, helps remember the order.
Yeah.
Because you forget that Benedict is second oldest.
Yeah.
Daphne is number 4.
Yeah. Benedict, Colin, Daphne,
Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, Hyacinth.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
And that's why Daphne wanted to name their child with an A.
I know. To carry on the tradition. On so the cute. Tradition.
Okay, the last little Easter egg that I thought was funny is the bee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look closely, there's a bee on all of the Bridgertons, like suits, dresses, in their hair, or it's like in a ton of scenes. So if you remember, their father died from a bee sting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the representation of the bee is kind of like their father's spirit almost. And mm-hmm. it shows up throughout the show a lot. So it shows up in Daphne's room after their wedding. It's there when they have their first child. It's in Kate and Anthony's room mm-hmm. after they get married. Mm-hmm. And do you remember the part where there's the bee in season 2 on Kate and yeah. it like stings her?
Oh yeah. I remember.
So there's just kind of that theme of yeah. the bee, and that makes well, me want to. Well,
and I think it's a funny theme for Bridgerton because there's a lot of like birds and the bees mm-hmm. parallels, mm-hmm. which is just really funny.
And also Bridgerton starts with a B.
Mm.
But I liked that little, it's not really an Easter egg. It's just kind of, did you notice this type of thing? Mm-hmm. And then it reminded me of that moment with Kate and Anthony.
Yeah.
They freak out. And then that's when Anthony is like, oh my gosh. I like you.
Love that scene. The anxiety of, like, thinking that he's going to lose her over bee sting.
Yeah.
It's kind of tender.
Yeah. But it's, like, kind of the presence of their father in their important moments.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that. Oh, we didn't talk about... Oh, my gosh. We didn't talk about Lady Bridgerton's potential love story.
Oh my god. Kay, I forgot about that. When I asked you the question of who hot. Your favorite couple is, I was gonna say, is it them? But I can't remember his name.
I don't know his name either.
I
Lady Danbury's brother.
I actually Lord Danbury? Loved no. them.
No, he wouldn't be Lord Danbury because
she
got married.
Yeah.
I
loved that relationship.
I loved them too. But at first I was thinking like there was something wrong with him. Because of the way Lady Danbury acted towards him, but then it ended up just being her. And I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I was worried that he was going to end up being a bad guy, though.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit unsure about that.
He's a little too charming.
They kept giving each other the eye. They also...
He came on really strong really early on. Like, he was immediately, like, trying to, like, swoon her.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Okay, you know those Bridgertons? They love their chocolate. They love yes. their chocolate men oh, and women.
The memes about that are so funny. The one of them dancing, like, I can't explain it, but they're funny.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking
about. You know what I'm
talking so about. Funny. Oh. Oh, well.
But yeah, I love that. And then the moment where they're in the church and the pastor is like announcing who's gonna get married, and everybody's giving each other the eye. Like, they give each other the eye. Mm. Colin and Penelope keep looking at each other. That part was actually a good Colin moment, because the pastor was like, Penelope Featherington and Colin Bridgerton are to get married, and they like look at each other, and he's like, does anybody oppose? And Penelope is like a little bit stressed, like, oh, is anybody gonna say anything?
Yeah.
And then Colin like looks at her and like tugs on his collar, like, oh no, what's gonna happen? And it like makes her laugh.
I actually wasn't paying attention. I watched most of that while driving back from Seattle, so I wasn't like watching, I was listening. So I actually didn't notice that part till you sent it to me.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that is so sweet.
He does have a lot of good moments. The first half of season three, Colin though, is a no. When he's just like sleeping with a bunch of women and
He gives the ick, but he's supposed to, like, that's how he is in the book. Like, he's acting like somebody he isn't.
Yeah.
And then when Penelope puts him in his place, and he's back to Colin.
Yeah.
And the Colin, the real Colin, is like very likable.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we gotta sign off before Jensen wakes up from his nap.
Yes.
Thank goodness for long naps.
Thank goodness. I wish I could take long naps every day.
3-hour nap, I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at eb.pod. We just talk about whatever we feel like on this podcast and post whatever we feel like on our Instagram and TikTok.
So if you want to have fun with us. So funny.
But anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode. Have any suggestions, comments, let us know.
Please
like and subscribe. Yeah.
On social media with friends and family. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.